Good morning to everyone here. May God's blessings and the comfort of His Holy Spirit rest upon this assembly, especially to you, Logan, Levi, and Val. We lost somebody special. Vic and Rita were very important to this congregation. They filled a big place here. We all enjoyed them. People of life, humor, interesting stories. When you went there for a visit, you knew two things. It wouldn't be quiet, and you were going to laugh. And that is so true. I appreciated all that. That was shared in the memories. That's the way I remember it, too. And I know Cheryl and I tried numerous times to get ahead of Vic and Rita and pay for their meal at the cafe, and we never could do it. They got us every time. Generous, kind. They had a lot of traits that are so commendable. But perhaps I'm just thinking here, the most defining, unforgettable, epic events in their life was the loss of their three children. And that we remember that, how that shook the community, how it shook each one of us. We remember the grief, the sorrow. The prophet said one time, he said, I hear the sound of Rachel weeping, and she could not be comforted. That was when one of those wicked kings slew all the little baby boys, and the mothers in Israel, they wept. They could not be comforted. It seemed so untimely, so unjust, so cruel. What a waste. And I know Rita had those thoughts many times. Why, Lord? But it was a life-changing experience for them. And a little piece of their heart went with each one of those children to heaven. And every time that we would talk to them and visit with them, this would come up that, you know, it was like heaven was a magnet. They were drawn there. They had a special interest in heaven. And they walked their Christian life carefully. They didn't want anything to get in the way. Beautiful, comforting. And I don't know where Rita is today. It's if she's in heaven, if that reunion has taken place, or if she's resting under the altar with the saved in a place called paradise, right at the threshold of heaven. I don't know that, but I believe she is aware that the battle's over and that it's she was victorious. She's safe. I think it's a very peaceful, quiet rest. And maybe she knows that that burning question in her life, why, Lord, why did this happen? She's going to get that answer. You know, in heaven we have perfect knowledge. The deep laws of God, the things that cannot be explained, they simply are not fair. God, He has a reason for that. And he will explain that to Rita. I just want to read one of the most beautiful passages of Scripture in the Bible just for us to meditate, and then we'll pray. That's John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, a place. It's tangible, physical, for you. We will not lose our individuality in heaven. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Well, then Thomas, he was the disciple that couldn't believe. He had trouble with doubt. He said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. We don't know how to get there. We're lost. We don't have a clue. And then Jesus said these words, profound and timeless. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's saying that this morning to us. If you want to join him in that reunion, Jesus is the way, Do what he says. Listen to what he teaches. Go to Matthew 5, 6, and 7. The greatest capsule of truth ever written. Read that. That's what Jesus said. That is the way to heaven. May each one of us seek that path the way Vic and Rita did, with all their heart, and meet them there someday. Let's bow our heads. Kind, loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful we have you to turn to in these valleys of life. Lord, no one can comfort like you can in your word. And we just implore you, Lord, to be with us here today as we lay this dear sister, this mother, grandmother, to her final resting place. And Lord, teach us, show us that way, so that we are not distracted in these last and evil days, Lord, so that we can join them someday, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'll read the obituary here. Loretta Pearl Kane, beloved wife, mother, and grandmother, was born to John Jay and Eva Marie Nightingale at Isabella, Oklahoma on December 22, 1940, and quietly passed away on February 5, 2026 at Mercy Hospital in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, reaching the age of 85 years. Mom's childhood was spent near Isabella, Oklahoma. She would speak fondly of growing up near the railroad tracks with her 11 brothers and sisters. She would often say how the engineers would throw out candy, watermelon, and other goodies for her and her siblings. In earlier years, her and her sisters would often get together and spend the afternoon laughing and telling stories about their childhood and all the shenanigans that they got themselves into. She completed 8 years of schooling at a small rural school in Isabella before she needed to grow up and start working. She often told of walking the mile to school in the snow and how sometimes she could walk right over the fences because the snow was so deep. On November 4, 1960, she married Victor Kane in Fairview, Oklahoma. They were baptized into the Church of God in Christ Mennonite on April 23, 1972 by Minister Milton Bays. Mom was faithful to this calling the rest of her life. Mom and Dad were married just shy of 62 years when he passed away. 4 children, Vicky, Valerie, Vanessa, and Vincent, were born to this union. God called 3 of their children home in their childhood years, bringing much pain and heartache to them. This loss brought our family so much closer, and when their grandsons, Logan and Levi, were born, Mom and Dad were delighted. Mom would often say, "If I knew that having grandchildren was so much fun, I would have had them first." She made sure that her grandsons knew how much she loved them. She doted on them and often would side with them over Dad, much to Dad's irritation. She loved to be involved in whatever they were interested in at the time, whether that was fishing or computer games. She even taught both of them to drive in Dad's old green truck. Mom was a stay-at-home mother until Vince had been in school for a few years. When she knew we didn't need her as much, she started as housekeeper at the Classic Inn Motel in Fairview. She later worked as a housekeeper and in the maintenance department at Fairview Fellowship Home. She always had a smile and kind words for those around her and will be remembered as being upbeat and cheerful. In August 2022, Mom fell and broke her back. She was not ever able to fully recover from this and walk again. She spent her remaining years being cared for at home by Valerie and her grandchildren. This was very hard on Mom as she was such an independent lady. She wanted to be able to do more for herself and those around her. She would often say how much that would mean to her if she could just get up and help in some way. Rita is survived by her daughter Valerie and grandsons, Logan and wife Brooke and Levi, her brothers Roger Nightingale and wife Lori, Andrew Nightingale and wife Paula, sisters-in-law Betty Giesbrecht and Emily Weedle and husband Victor, and numerous nieces and nephews. She was preceded in death by her parents, her husband, 3 children, Vicky, Vanessa, and Vince, and 12 siblings.
Well,
That was truly a beautiful testimony that was just sung there. I don't know where your minds went. I know many of us sitting here this morning have probably heard that song sung a lot of times over the years, and maybe your minds, as you listened to the message of that song, maybe they went to some of those others that used to sing it. Mine did. Just thinking back over the years to some of those faithful people, some of those men that love to sing, the quartets, and you know, they've went before, they've passed on, and we're here this morning because of the same is here for Rita, that time that she has come to the end of her life and she has passed on. Yet that song gives me much hope as I listen to it for all of us. Rita's hope is our hope, and it will always be that way, and I'm thankful for that. The lighthouse, that way that God has made to point us to where we want to go. And I know as we sit here this morning, it seems to me like that the memories very likely flood through your minds as you think of Rita, as we listen to Clark in the introduction. And I was impressed with that thought that, you know, so many of our memories are really insignificant details. They're just little things, not so outstanding. Maybe a few of them are. A few of them are more outstanding, but so many of them are just those little everyday things. We heard a few last night, and it touched my heart as I listened to testimonies of Rita's unselfishness, of, I don't know, it just seemed to me like of her just wholehearted love for life. It seemed like it came through as I listened to some of you speak last night, how she threw herself into life. She gave of herself. And you know, how did she give of herself? It was just in so many little ways, just so many little ways in so many different times to so many different people. And that touches my heart as I think about it this morning. I thought of a few of the memories that stood out to me of Rita, and again, they were just small things. I'm not sure how old I was when Vince passed away. I'm going to say maybe somewhere around 10, and I would have been a few years younger than him. And I still have memories of being in that little house with the family, and for some reason it stands out to me of, I wonder if Vince didn't have the way I remember it, he had a collection of pencil sharpeners or something. Just they were little, I don't know, little toys that you could sharpen pencils in, little metal toys. And some of you talked last night about how Rita gave you things, and she gave me some of those. I still remember that. I don't know where they are today. I wish I did. But I remember taking home some little pencil sharpeners. I think there was a little train and maybe a little car and a truck and just some different things and just little metal toys. And you know, that's a small thing. And here I'm remembering it, I don't know, 35 years later or something. And so, and it was, yeah, it was probably the toys, but it was also the fact that she gave them. And it just seems like there's so many things. My wife was talking a little last night about just a couple of little kitties that Rita gave us when we were young married. And I think one of those little kitties didn't last very long. The other one was with us a long time. And it just seemed like that's who she was. She gave of herself, and that touches my heart this morning as I think about that. And you know, I guess as I've thought about Rita, the essence of her life, who she was, you know, we could sit here this morning and we could place her way up on a pedestal. We could lift her way high. We could place her above us, and yet that wasn't who she was it? She was just like us. That's just who we all are, really. We're all so much the same. We're common people. We each one have that opportunity, it seems to me, like to fill that little place that we find ourselves in, just wherever it is, and we can fill it in a faithful way. And I know there's many, many things we could share about Rita this morning, but my heart has been touched with something for almost the last week, I think. We had the opportunity last Wednesday to run up to the hospital there. Rita was was laying there in the hospital room. She was in, I guess it was Mercy Hospital there, West Memorial in Oklahoma City. And as we went up there, my mind went back to another trip to the hospital that we took to see Rita. And I look back, I think it's probably been about a year and a half ago. And I think it was in Integrus Baptist there on Northwest Expressway. And she was up there. In Val's text, you said she was in room 743 or something like that on the seventh floor there, looking out, the way I remember, to the east and in that little room. And I guess as we went to the hospital room last Wednesday, I started thinking back to that visit. Last Wednesday, we showed up there in her room, and Rita was there. Her body was there. Her spirit was still there, but she was sedated. She was sleeping. We could talk to her. She couldn't talk to us. And you know, the reason why we liked to be with Rita wasn't because of the talking we did. It was because of her, wasn't it? And so it wasn't quite the same this last Wednesday. We were very thankful we went. Val was there. We sat and visited for a while. Levi came. Logan's were still, they were coming soon. We didn't get to see them. We spent a little time together. We talked about some of those memories. We talked about some of those things. Before we left, we told Rita goodbye. It seemed evident that her time was short. But as I left there, there was a quietness in my heart. There was an assurance in my heart. And because I was still thinking about that visit in the hospital room a year and a half before. And it wasn't the only visit we had like that with Rita. It seemed like she was, over the last few years, we'd go to see her every once in a while. There in her house in Enid, next to where Val was living, and she and Vic were there together. And sometimes she was struggling a little bit with health issues. More often it seemed like it was Vic. That was through his last couple of years there. We would talk sometimes about just being ready to go. Being ready for what came next. And I was always impressed with Rita's outlook on it. That quietness that was in her. Last night it was stated that she had a positive outlook on life, and she was. It was just such a quiet, positive way. You know, she would tell us that she was ready. She just felt like she was ready when her time came. And I don't know, that day that we went up there a year and a half ago to her room, I remember walking into the room. It was quiet in there. Had a nice big window looking out there, and Rita was laying there. She had a little smile on her face, and she was getting better. She'd been in there a few days already. She was getting better. And I think that day, I don't remember, I think maybe Val, you had went to Texas or something, maybe with one of the boys. I don't remember what the whole deal was. And so she'd been a few hours there by herself, and she was glad to have a little company. And we sat and shared and talked. I still remember we talked about cats. I don't know what all we talked about that day, but it seemed like pretty soon the conversation turned to some of the things that matter more. You know, the little details in life are special and they're important. But her mind was thinking about home, and not about her earthly home, about heaven. Vic had gone on. We talked about Vic a little that day. We also talked about her other three children, Vicky and Vanessa and Vincent. And there was such a rest and a quietness in her heart. And I could tell, and she told me, she said, you know, she said it was hard. The loss was so hard. But she said, I'm so thankful because, she said, I know where they are. She knew where they were. She knew that she could go there too. And that was a rest and a confidence that she had in her heart. And that touched me that day as I thought about her road, and and as I just felt the acceptance in her heart for what her life had been, for where she was at. She'd accepted things so many times that she hadn't chosen, that she would have chosen differently in. And there was just a quiet acceptance in her heart that day. And I still remember as we talked about her heart and being ready. You know, she didn't say it in such a bold, confident way that day. It was quiet. She told us, she said, "I'm just open." She said, if God has something more for me, I just believe he'll show it to me. She said, I just have a desire to be where he wants me to be. I have a desire to be with him. And she says, I know that if he has something more for me, he'll show it. I just feel like I'm in that place. And that thought has just been on my mind over and over since then, of just simply her acceptance, her readiness, her submission to God. And I'm thinking about that this morning, about that part of just being ready, just being ready. You know, I don't think Rita was such a special person in the way that she was so different from everybody else, and that she had a special grace in her life or a special insight into what God wanted for her. I think she, like I said before, she was just like the rest of us, wasn't she? And I think that she was subject to the same questions very likely that all of us can be at times. You know, as we think about, it seems like as we get older, and I don't count myself as older necessarily, but I've had the privilege of sitting with those like Rita who are older and looking at life a little bit from their perspective. And it often touches my heart, you know, as our older ones come to the end of life and they begin having to let go of things that have been important to them all their life. They can't work like they once did. They can't. Life changes. Rita wasn't able to be as independent as she wanted to be anymore. She had to accept that, didn't she? And it seems like as those are all signs or evidences for us all, I believe, that this life is only for a time. It's only for a certain time, and then our time is over. And it seems like as we have, I guess I would count that as a privilege that we have, that as we grow older, that we have that opportunity. It seems to me like God gives us that by his mercy and grace. You know, we have that opportunity to see that life is coming to a close and there is something more. Sometimes we as younger ones, we struggle with that. Life is before us, so many opportunities, and that's a beautiful thing. I don't say that in a bad way. We focus on life. We see all the good. We see all the opportunities. But at her age, so many of those opportunities had passed. And I think about that today, that God, it seems like that's an opportunity many of us have. Not everyone has the opportunity to grow old. But as we near the end of life, it seems like God gives us that grace and that opportunity to prepare ourselves. And we all need to be prepared, don't we? At any age, we need to be prepared because not everyone makes it to that time. But I've seen our older ones as they get to that place, you know, they begin to open their mind to that question. Like, what is next? Am I ready? Is there something, you know, is there something that I'm missing? How do I know? How can I know? Sometimes it's hard for us to just hear the voice of God like we'd like to sometimes. We'd like for him just to speak audibly and tell us, yes, you're ready. And I think some people have maybe heard that. Not everybody does. And so I think about that, you know, those are natural questions that we have. I think they're good things to think about. You know, as we think about our lives and we think about God, we think about his will for our lives, we think about what he wants for us, it seems like you can hear so many voices today in the world that we live in, so many ideas about what is truth and where is truth and how to find it. So many different interpretations. And yet it seems to me like that there's just a few simple things that are important in that all. And I thought maybe this morning, maybe we'll just talk about that a little bit. There's been a verse that's been on my mind as I guess I was impressed that day with Rita's openness. It, you know, it wasn't a confidence within herself that she had judged her life and she had deemed it worthy of getting to heaven. You know, we can do that sometimes, but really and truly, that's not necessarily the most important thing, is it? Because we can all make judgments. We can all judge our own lives. We can judge the lives of those around us. I was just reading yesterday a little bit in Romans, Paul put it pretty bluntly. He said, "You are inexcusable, oh man, if you judge others." And then he goes into judging yourselves a little bit too. And I think what he was trying to say is that really and truly, we're not the judge of all these things, that God is. And it's so important that he does judge these things. The verse I was impressed with is in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24. And he says it in such a simple way. He says, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. And it seems to me this morning that what Paul was trying to say is that we have an opportunity as we think about the judgment and we think about that time that's coming. I think it was what Rita was thinking about. She was thinking about heaven. She was thinking about being ready. And you know, the Bible says there will come a day when God judges us, when he judges each person that's ever been on this earth. And he says, yes, you know, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Or he says, you know, go to the left, go to the right, go to the left. And that's a sobering thought for us. It's something that maybe it frightens us sometimes. Maybe we wonder about it. But to me, it's just that simple way that it's going to be the day when God separates those who have, by his grace, have accepted the blood of Jesus, who have allowed their sins to be judged and put under the blood of Jesus, and those who haven't. It seems like it's just that simple. And so this verse, in my mind, Paul's just saying that, you know, there's two ways. We can either give our sins to God now in this earth, and we can let him judge those sins here, or we can kind of hide them. It says some men's sins follow after. We can put them behind us. We can hide them. We hope nobody sees them. We can think they don't matter. We can think that, well, it's not important. We can think that I'm not ready for somebody to see that. I don't know if I want him to know about some of this stuff, which is probably a little bit of a silly thought, isn't it? But I think sometimes we think that. And so I think Paul was just pointing out that part of we have that opportunity to show God who we are now, or it's kind of the choice of man, isn't it? Or we can protect it, we can hide it. And so many times in that hiding, we can make those choices for ourselves. We can say, well, we can judge ourselves. We can say, I'm a pretty good person. Surely I'll make it, you know. But the reality is, someday when we get there, if we haven't let God judge those sins here, he'll judge them there. And if they haven't had the opportunity to be put on under the blood of Jesus, that's really the essence of it, isn't it? That's why it won't be enough, because it takes the blood of Jesus to get to heaven. And that's that lighthouse, I think, that they were singing about. That's that testimony that they were giving. That's what that song was saying, is that, you know, I thank God for the lighthouse. I'm thankful for Jesus and for what he's done. And that inspires me as I think about that, because I think about what Rita was saying that day. And to me, when she said that she was open to what God had, she was open to anything. She felt like her life had been open to God. She felt like she was just open. It wasn't her judgment, it was God's. And she was resting in that. She was resting in the assurance of that. And to me, that's such a beautiful, beautiful thing. That's so beautiful, because that's the God we serve, isn't it? He's a God of mercy and grace. We can think of him, and I think that's a choice we make sometimes. He's a God of judgment. He's a God. Sometimes we question some of the things we see in the world. We can lay that blame at God's feet. We can say, God, how could you do that? You know, we can go through some of those thought processes, but behind it all, isn't there a God of mercy, a God of grace, a God of love? And he sent his son to die for us so that when we present our sins to him in this life here, we give them to him, we lay them at his feet, we lay them at the foot of the cross. And Jesus' blood covered those. And then we can go forward living a life of obedience, living in that. As we can let him be in control of our lives. That's the scary part for us many times, is letting him be in control. Letting him have my life. Sometimes I think, well, I want to go over here, I want to do this, and what if he doesn't let me do that? Or what if he doesn't take me there? And yet, how many times, as you've lived your lives, haven't you seen how God has We think we have good things in mind for ourselves. We can think of so many good things that we want to happen. We want life to turn out in a certain way. We have expectations. We want this and we would like that. How many times aren't the Bible says God's thoughts are higher than ours, his ways are beyond us, aren't they? And he thinks of things that are so much better than we could ever think of. And that just inspires me this morning as I think of that opportunity that we have to give him control of our lives and let him take us. Let him take us where he wants to. In that way, we follow in obedience and he leads us. And it seemed to me, as I think of that living, that place, that our sins are surrendered. They're brought to the light. They're given to him. And he has control of our lives. That's where our assurance comes from, isn't it? Is when our lives are there, right there in that little spot. That we can have that assurance and confidence in our hearts that we're not in control. God is, and he's leading. And to me, that was Rita's quietness in her heart that day. It just witnessed to me in that way that she was submitted to God in that way, and she just felt at rest there. If he had something more, she would do it. If he didn't, she was just at rest. She was there. To me, that was such a beautiful thing. And I thought back through her life. You know, I have no doubt in my mind that Rita, many times, she struggled with where her life was going, with what she was facing. She struggled with the burdens of life that we all do. Maybe she struggled with a few that most of us don't have to. It seems to me like that submission and that trust, though, was something that she learned through her life. She learned, and it was the choices she made as she took what life handed her, and she chose to trust God. She chose to submit her life to him. I believe that's where that assurance came from. And I guess this all brought me to a verse that has touched me here the last day or so. It's in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And it's that beautiful invitation that Jesus gave. He was talking there to his disciples. He was talking to some of those around him. And he came to this thought. And he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know, we do, don't we? We labor under some of the things that life gives us. And I have no doubt that Rita did that many times. That was a labor. That was a struggle that she had as she faced the things of life. But Jesus said it so simply here, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." There's that rest. Then he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Again, that rest. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, I think that's a reality, isn't it? That there will be burdens, there will be things of life. Even living for God, like Jesus said here, it has a yoke. He said his yoke. There are things that come with that, aren't there? But behind it all is this beautiful thought, this beautiful picture that it doesn't matter. Our circumstances in life, it doesn't matter what we face. They fit into this promise. You know, and many times as we think about that part of just coming to God and letting him have our lives, I think many times we think of all kinds of details that God wouldn't even have us think about. We wonder how this could work and how that would work and whether we... You know, what's he going to ask of me and what am I going to have to let go of? And yet, over and over again, it's impressive to me how he's a God who just simply, as we come to him, we don't have to figure it all out. We don't have to know the way forward. He just said, "Come unto me." And then he said, "I will give." And isn't that a beautiful thought that we just come before him? We just come to him. We let him take control. We let him figure it out. We let him do the things that need to be done. And then we follow. We just continue to follow. I was impressed as I thought of the people he was speaking those words to. You know, there were many people that followed him when he was on this earth. And when they wanted to be where Jesus was, they laid aside the rest of their responsibilities and they just followed him. And there were crowds that went with him here and there. When he drew near, they would leave what they were doing and they would go to the roadside. They would go to the mountainside. They would go to the seaside. Because that's where Jesus was and that's where they wanted to be. And there it seems to me like there had to be a rest and a peace that must have been in that place as they were near him. And I think it's that way for us today, that we have that opportunity. And so many times I think living for Him looks different than what we think it will. So many times maybe it would take us to different places. But the beautiful thing behind it all is that it's His, isn't it? It's His work. It's His leading. He says follow. He says come. And it's when we're in that place, it's not where we are, but it's that we're near Him, that we can have that rest and that assurance. And that was such an inspiration to me that day in that hospital room, as we had a prayer together and we left. And that thought has stayed with me. I've thought of that scene different times and that rest and assurance that was in Rita's heart. And to me, that just seems so attainable. It seems attainable to me as I think about it. It gives me courage in my life. It helps me. It gives me something. Her testimony was a lighthouse for me that day, I believe. It was something that pointed me, that gave me that direction. And it seems like it can just be something for all of us. I think about this time that we're in. You know, this is one of those burdens of life that we were talking about right now. This is where we are. We're laying Rita to rest, and it's not easy. We think of those little memories. We think of every memory that you have of Rita. There's one unifying factor in all those memories that we all have, and that is that it was Rita. Rita was there, and that's gone now. That's not a part of our lives anymore. We have to. Those things tear. They tear at our hearts. We let go. It's hard to let go. But there again, Jesus said that, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." He'll help us carry those things. He'll help us through this time. We can give our future to Him. We can give Him details in our lives that we don't know what to do with. We can give Him details in our lives that are hard for us. And that's a choice that we have to make. But as we do that, that's part of just giving Him, surrendering ourselves and letting Him have it. And that's such a beautiful thing to me. And I'm inspired with that this morning as I think of that we have that God to lean on. I thought of the words there in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy. It talks about those everlasting arms and how we can find ourselves in those everlasting arms. And I guess that's my wish and my prayer for each of us here today, especially to you, Val, and to you, Logan, Levi, Brooke, all of you, you as a family, that we have that opportunity to rest in those arms, to just let him have us. There's in that submission and in that surrender, just that sinking into His arms, letting Him have control, there's such a rest and assurance in that. And that's an rest and assurance that we can all have. And may God bless us as we reach out to that, as we just let Him show us where that is. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father, we just bow before You here today, Lord, again. And we're a group of people who is not worthy of the things that You have given us. We're not worthy of that home that You've prepared for us on our own, but because of Jesus' blood and because we can let You have control of our lives, because we can simply give our lives to You for Your safekeeping, because of that, we can be worthy. We can have a place with You in heaven. Father, we think about heaven this morning as being a little closer as we think of Rita. We've thought of those who have went before, of her family. It touches our hearts. And we just want to sink down into Your arms and Your will here today. We long to have that assurance in our hearts that we can be there. We want to just simply follow You, come unto You, follow You wherever You are, that we would be there. That's the prayer of our hearts. That's a desire. We just especially think of this time as we come to the viewing and as we draw near to this time of laying Rita to rest. We just pray that You would just simply have Your way and that You would comfort us. In Jesus' name, amen.